Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
For the second straight night, Creighton had to rally after surrendering. Three runs in the top of the first inning. Kyle Hess triples home the tying run in the eighth and then drives home the winning run in the 10th inning as Creighton continues its midweek mastery. A 5-4 walk-off win in 10 innings over Coastal Carolina. They are 10-0 in the midweek games. If they played all the games in the midweek, they would be undefeated and be declared champions at season's end.
They'd be hosting.
Yeah. Everything.
Overall number one seed.
They're 30-9 overall. Coastal making its first return to Omaha since winning the 2016 College World Series. It's been that long. Damn. Fell to 27-14 on the spring after losing the second time in as many days. And then they got to go back to Charleston. Is that where they are? No, they're close to Myrtle Beach. It's nice there. That's all I know.
Conway.
Yes. Conway, yes.
Closer to Myrtle Beach.
I should know this. Yeah. Saw way too much of Coastal for three years.
Between Charleston and Myrtle Beach. As someone that has driven up and down 17 there.
Pretty.
Where would you rather be?
Oh, Charleston by a mile. Myrtle Beach is a tourist trap.
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach has so many like t-shirt shops off the side of the road.
Yeah.
Good morning, Alvin's.
Yeah.
So if I were to try to find a Christmas ornament because I have a travel tree, I'd be able to find many options in Myrtle Beach.
Absolutely. Alvin's and the other surf shops.
And they'll all say they have the best.
You get towels of every NFL team hanging on the wall.
I've always wanted to golf in Myrtle Beach, though.
Golfing is great. It's just it's very much a tourist area.
I can see that.
Where Charleston is, I would take Charleston 100 times over Myrtle Beach. Yeah.
Totally understand this.
I don't need to go to Myrtle Beach. If I'm living in Charleston, I go out to Folly Beach.
Better? Less people.
I mean, still, Folly is kind of crazy, but probably less people.
I can relate to this.
But it's all on the water. It's all that matters.
Yeah.
When you hate people, those are the things you want to hear. Plus, in that restaurant in Charleston, that's...
Excuse me?
Oh, yeah.
If you hate people...
If you hate people, you want to hear... No. You want this one. Less people. Less tourists.
Okay. Hate's such a strong word. Okay.
Strongly dislike people most of the time. strongly.
If you prefer to be by yourself. How about that?
You know who doesn't want to be by himself is Jemiah Neal, because he's coming to Creighton. 6'6 guard from Toledo, though not at Toledo. He played the previous three seasons at Arizona State, which is not in Ohio, but now in the NCHC in hockey, go figure. And will have 1 year of eligibility remaining. He scored 565 points in his time at Arizona State, started 31-32 games as a junior this past season, averaging career highs, 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. The Storm Chasers fall behind early and can't pull ahead as they fall to Indianapolis 7-4 yesterday on Paul Skeens Day at Werner Park. Indianapolis jumped out early as the Indians scored a run, first and four in the second off. Omaha starter Zach Davies for early 5-0 lead. Davies, making his Omaha debut, settled down after all the second with scoreless third inning. All those kids, it's just intimidating. He walked two, allowed 5 hits, surrendering 5 runs. Skeens had Omaha's hitters off balance for much of the day as he struck out 7 or 4 2/3 innings of work. However, the Storm Chasers became the first team to score a run off him this season. CJ Alexander tripled with 1 out in the bottom of the second and scored on a single from Nate Eaton. Another run crossed the plate for Omaha in the fourth inning as Nick Lofton scored on a throwing error from Skeens. Print the t-shirts! Yeah! Congratulations to everyone who made it happen. All right, in the NBA, the Miami Heat shoot 43 three-point attempts. At one point, they only had 5 shots at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sometimes I really hate what the NBA's become. Anyway, but I do like that the Heat won. As they finish off with a playoff franchise record 23 threes, the Heat beat the Celtics 111-101 with that Heat culture. In Game 2 to even the series at 1, they'll play Game 3 in Miami Saturday. Cue up the Peppas. After scoring 11 points on 13 shots in the opener, Tyler Hero has 24 points on 13 shots, including 6 three-pointers, and he added 14 assists. A regular Tim Hardaway, the second most in a game in Heat playoff history. After a narrow win in Game 1, Oklahoma City Thunder coach Mark Dagenault warn his team. I loved watching Charles Barkley trying to pronounce his name last night. Warn his team about the Pelicans coming out with more aggression in Game 2 Wednesday night. And the Pelicans did hit first with their first 11 points coming from Jonas Valanciunas. But after the first punch didn't matter, Thunder became the aggressors as the Oklahoma City dropped an EF5 on the Pelicans, 124-92. To take a 2-0 lead in the first round series, Durr rookie Chet scored 15 of his 26 points in the first quarter.
He looked good last night. Mm. I mean, he was physical. They're
good.
They've been a fun team to watch this entire year. But he went to a whole other level. New Orleans is not equipped to.
They need Zion, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they're not going to get it.
They don't have the dearth of options that the Thunder have in this series.
And the Thunder have Dort.
They do.
That's all that matters.
Pro wants.
They do. Kendrick Perkins, by the way.
Huh.
Jimmy, he mentioned this. The Miami Heat could go 100% from the field and 100% from three, and they're still going to get swept. Remember that Kendrick Perkins, we didn't really know much about Kendrick Perkins, and then COVID came along, and ESPN was looking for people to do shows from their home, and he had a setup, and the next thing you know, he's all over ESPN. But I noticed that he dipped his toe into the Inside the NBA war, and they had a punching bag with his face on it the other night that they did a segment on, and Barkley and Shaq were all giving to the old 1-2.
As Chuck said last week, 5 points a game, gonna call me out. Exactly. Knew Kendrick Perkins well, because Tim Duncan used to take him to school, even as an old man. Every time. Stand there. Don't move your feet.
100%, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that team's gonna win the game.
Makes me root for the Heat. I don't have anything against the Celtics. I just don't like them. Three games tonight, all game threes. Cavs and Magic at 6 o'clock on NBA TV. Of course, Knicks, Sixers, Nugget, Lakers on actual TV you can watch. Both series 2-0 in favor of New York and Denver, respectively. And in the hockey, I can't forget the hockey, because Steve wants me to get the hockey. And you know why Steve wants me to get the hockey in? Because the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs last night 4-2 to take a 2-1 series lead. Golden Knights beat the Stars 2-1 in Dallas. They lead 2-0. And the Kings beat the Oilers 5-4. The series is tied at 1-1. Two games tonight. Panthers and Lightning's game 3 and Hurricanes and Islanders game 3. Carolina and Florida each lead those series 2-0. And baseball, Shohei the Greek Ohtani has 3 doubles to improve his major league leading. Batting average to .371. Rookie Landon Knack got his first victory as the Dodgers routed the Nationals 11-2 last night, getting revenge from that 5-game playoff loss in 2019, which resulted in the Nationals beating the Astros. Could have all been prevented if the Dodgers had just beaten them. Not that I'm still bitter. Why the hell didn't you put Garrett Cole in Game 7 when he was ready to go? Anyway, speaking of the Astros, they used to be good. They're not anymore. The Cubs beat the Astros in an NL Central clash at Wrigley 4-3. Astros on pace to finish 7-155. Look out, 2012 Astros. Royals beat the Blue Jays 3-2 at Kauffman in a heated rematch of the 1985 and 2015 ALCS, won both by the American team.
Mark Leiter, by the way, he's like Paul Skeens of the majors. 12 1/3, no runs allowed, 13 Ks. I hope your team does well after they leave Wrigley today.
They won't. That's okay. It's nice to see the Astros and Cubs doing it up again. I wish it was on WGN.
Oh.
That's what I grew up with. Then you could tell when Harry had had a few, because by the ninth inning, you'd just be a Biggio. It's like, oh, I didn't know Craig was batting. Okay.
The Bruins Maple Leafs game last night was a fascinating watch. So Brad Marchand is an absolute beast. As Jimmy mentioned, the Bruins won that game to go up 2-1 in the series. There's just something that hits me in the heart when I see sad Maple Leaf fans.
Oh.
They love that sport. I mean,
yes, they do.
You ever been to Toronto? It is a Maple Leaf town. The sports talk, even in the middle of the summer, the Blue Jays could be in first place.
The Raptors won a championship, doesn't matter.
And they're talking about the Maple Leafs and, you know, who's going to go to prospect camp in September. But they gather outside. Just like, when the Raptors were really, really good, they would show them outside in Raptor Park.
Yep.
And the fans were super rabid. The Maple Leaf fans are tenfold. And they were outside, and they kept showing them last night as the Bruins went ahead, and then they won the game. But that game was fierce. It seemed like everybody that had the puck, or once they got rid of the puck, got hit in that game. I mean, the hitting was, it was all above board, but it was a physical, like, fun, just rock'em sock'em hockey game last night. But watching a sad Maple Leaf fan, I don't know if I can go through that anymore. I mean, they want to win the Cup so bad in Toronto.
They're so nice, too. All those Canada. Well, no.
Free healthcare will do that.
Maybe not in hockey. Once you get into the actual building, I don't know if they're as friendly as they appear to be just on the streets. But all of the venues. I remember when well, when the Omaha Exarban Knights were here, I started taking a little bit more interest, even though I was always a diehard Chicago Blackhawk fan, was always taking a little bit of interest in the Calgary Flames organization. And the Saddle Dome was always a place I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be able to experience that. But
Sandy
seeing
McCarthy,
those venues in Stanley Cup playoffs as opposed to just your regular season games, oh, yeah, it's special. That's not to say that you have venues here in the States that don't do it as well, but the passion, that being the national sport there too. Yeah, I'm with you. You feel for them, especially when they're not in your face about it. I don't know of a
people in Vancouver are laughing.
Well, I don't know of an overly cocky fan base when it comes to Canadian hockey teams in the NHL. That's overly cocky where you want them to lose.
When Montreal used to have a pulse.
Montreal was the one team that
doesn't really bother me. Nothing about it. Maybe it's just because they're up there and I'm down here. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
I'm not inundated with it every day. But
You're not watching the CBC before you come in every morning?
No. I wish I need to make more time for that, though. I feel like that's something in my life I need to embrace.
Jimmy mentioned in the update, so Creighton got an addition in the portal. The portal is sometimes you don't necessarily get what you want, but you get what you need. Jemiah Neal is an interesting pickup from Arizona State, so spent the last 2 days here in Omaha. I think he is someone who, in the structure of a MAC offense, will be better. The guy wasn't a bum in Tempe, but I think his game inside of where there's better spacing will help his game expand. Intriguing pickup. He needs to handle the ball a little bit better, but the fact that he can get to the rim is also a huge asset. And I know they've got a couple other guys that they're working on. Mahaney, who was here, went to Virginia, probably going to be UConn and Creighton for him. I'm wondering, just judging off a Stephen Ashworth social media post last night where he's golfing and he tags Dalen Hill, who is the guard from BYU that is in the portal, if that's the next option out there.
It's been interesting. Right? We talked about the silence over the last couple of weeks that didn't necessarily mean that Creighton wasn't active. You know that they are, and you know that they have some big shoes to fill. I think that there were a lot of people. I was getting this question a lot on Friday when it came to, I'm trying to remember. When did Chucky go into the portal? Was it last Friday?
Last Wednesday.
Or Wednesday,
By the way, he is...
he's in Louisville.
Unless they have the death penalty or they decide to drop basketball, that'll be his destination.
I don't think the death penalty is coming. I think they're getting rid of that anyway. But the questions that I'm sure you were getting, I was getting is, Frankie was undecided too, is Creighton going to get Frankie and Chucky Hepburn? And you think, okay, with the silence going on, are we about to see a really big announcement when it came to that?
Was not even on the plate.
Well, and now you kind of see a little bit of finding out what Creighton is trying to address, especially with Baylor Shireman being gone. You look at yesterday's edition, and I one of my friends who is a Creighton season ticket holder asked, am I supposed to be excited about this? And I think I said a similar thing that you did of, in that system, you can't necessarily always go off of, because I think people immediately want to look at the previous place that they went to, how many points they were averaging, what the three-point percentage is, all of those things. And I get that. I mean, we all do that. But if that number isn't one that raises your eyebrows in a good way, you start to judge it based on that, and you forget about the type of system support cast they're going into, and more importantly, the coaching staff that they're going into. And so that's where I am with that. Are you bringing in Baylor Shireman and absolutely replacing that type of production, the player he was? No, but where is that guy in the transfer portal right now?
You're not going to be able to replace his shooting. So you've lost Baylor, you lost Trey, you got to find a guy that can get to the rim. I think he's a guy that can get to the rim. But I just think in like, it's tough to compare what he did at Arizona State because he's going to be in a completely different structure
right.
that will elevate what he does well. He also does one thing that I think is important while he'll be a fit at Creighton on the other side of the floor is he defends without fouling.
Man, and that's the Creighton MO right there.
Now, they should be deeper this year, like go, you know, 8-9 guys, mm-hmm. but not fouling while defending. And he's got pretty quick hands. I think he's got a knack for intuition of jumping into a passing lane. But I think it's a nice addition. You're not going to replace Shireman. You're just not. And you're going to try and replace Trey. But probably the most important thing is, what could Trey do? Trey could kind of get to the rim, that mm-hmm. mid-range jump shot. This is a guy that can get to the rim. And they're not done. They've got a couple of more. And then, you know, they have the Kalkbrenner decision, which, you know, I think the going to the NBA is still on the table.
The part about the transition game, too, and looking at some of the highlights last night from Neal, just watching how he does get up and down the floor. This is where maybe I don't think Baylor got as much credit for his ability to get up and down, but to your point about what Trey does really well, it wasn't Baylor's game. Baylor typically was going to create, maybe trail it, be there to knock down a big three. From what I'm seeing with Neal, not necessarily his game, as opposed to where you're going to see him being able to get from one end of the floor in a rapid rate, but also finishing at the rim too. So there are certain elements as a swingman that he's going to be able to bring in that position with athleticism that maybe what you give a little bit in the accurate three-point shooting that you always got from Baylor Shireman. And again, this is not to say Baylor wasn't an athlete. Baylor is an athlete. He went about it differently. You get a little bit more explosiveness in the transition game, too, at that spot.
I think the comp, and I've heard this a couple of times, is Damian Jefferson.
And you'd take that. I think you'd absolutely take that. If you can get that type of production from that spot, I think this is always – Creighton is always going to find shooters. They're always going to have those guys. And if you're able to put more athletes – and I think that's a good call if it turns out to be the case, too, as far as what he can do – of being able to defend at a high level without fouling. That's also, I think, when you think of the things that you're trying to replace and stay true to this system, that's a huge one that probably doesn't get discussed enough. You heard a little bit more about it in the NCAA tournament where I think people started looking at the numbers, more the national analysts that hadn't seen Creighton on a night-in-night-out basis. But they would talk about the importance of that. And when you start to look at a team that doesn't necessarily want to go to the bench and has three or four guys that can come off and contribute, you look at that as a problem, but then you think, well, yeah, these guys are playing a lot of minutes, but where's the fatigue factor, and where are any of these guys, especially Kalkbrenner, as a big guy that people want to go at, where's he even getting into foul trouble, which isn't happening?
I think the thing is, as Creighton continues to assemble the roster for next year, don't forget they got three really good freshmen coming. They got three really good freshmen that could crack a rotation. So don't overlook that part and going, well, that guy doesn't rank real high. That's no AJ Store. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is fit. I mean, we can all want something. I think we do this with Nebraska. We could want certain players. And yesterday was not a good day for Nebraska in the portal. Ewan, the junior college center that Fred was one of the first to contact, he ends up staying closer to home, goes to Florida State. William Kyle III, who goes to UCLA, and man, that was a priority for Nebraska. Fred went all in on him, was in the home, had really worked hard to establish a relationship, wanted him to get him on campus this upcoming weekend. And he goes to UCLA, you know, so you lose an in-state kid that you didn't recruit out of high school because not any other Power 5 schools recruited out of, or Power 6 schools recruited out of high school. They had made some ground, and he goes to UCLA. You know, it wasn't a good day for Nebraska, but they're on to the next one. I think Nebraska and Creighton won't look at portal rankings. Like, Michigan is just assembling guys.
Yep.
KU is assembling guys. It's all about fit. I think when you're Mac or your Fred, and you know what you have that is already here or coming, and you know what you like to coach, and you know like how you like to spread your resources, and you're smart because you need to have a winning locker room before it ever gets out on the floor, you're looking at more of a fit. So that's, I probably, the younger Gary would go, man, is that guy ranked number one?
Yeah.
And how come they can't get him? Now I'm like, does that guy fit what they want to do? And when I look at Neal, and I think of where he was at Arizona State and what they didn't do with him, what guys that are similar, like a Damian Jefferson took a big jump when he transferred here. If that's the comp, then I like this addition. But they're, of course, not done, and we'll see how they all fit together.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is where you trust the coaching of those rosters. And I think I don't want to say anybody ever doubted Fred as far as what he can do from an X's and O's standpoint. I think it was just being able to manage the roster in this day and age right now of where it's not just, okay, let's just bring in a bunch of transfers. It, kind of like what you said with young Gary, because I was the same way. And to an extent, I am. When I immediately hear about somebody, you go to the simple statistics, points per game, and looking at if they're a big man, okay, what are they average rebounding defensively, all of those numbers. But that's where the transfer portal has put us, in my opinion, where you look at the surface stats and you forget about the system they're going into, the company that they're joining, and more importantly, the coaching staff that they're going to have. And so I think for Fred, what he's shown over the last couple of years, if you're a Nebraska fan and you're a little discouraged after yesterday, we know you're not going to win every transfer portal battle. As excited as we get about certain guys, certain additions, you also get disappointed. That's the give and take of what you're going to go through when it comes to the transfer portal. But this is where you also, and I think Creighton and Mac has shown it obviously a lot more consistently with the program that he has really transitioned so successfully into the Big East, that if you look at someone that maybe doesn't have eye-popping stats, but you know they're going into that system, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and you're not even think twice about it. For Fred, I think what he's shown the last year is, to your point, he's looking for, yes, somebody that obviously is a legitimate, potential high-level Big Ten type player, but more than anything is going to complement what they have, is going to fit into a culture that they've got something going there. And it's no wonder that they finished the previous season very strong, and this season, for the most part, was very strong. It wasn't just because they had a bunch of dudes that, well, this guy used to be a five-star, this guy used to be a five-star. Let's just get them on the floor, and I'm sure it will work out. You've put a lot more thought into that overall fit, and I think that that's what you now have to trust Fred and his coaching staff in doing, even when you miss on a couple of guys or when they just ultimately don't choose you.
All right, we'll shift back to the draft. Carmen DeFalco from ESPN 1000 will join us. On will the Bears take Caleb Williams? Mm. Was it all a farce that they
really like Drake May?
They all rolled everything out.
Yeah,
they should take Drake May. I hate Drake May. I think Drake May is going to be one of the three quarterbacks that'll be a bust.
Love the Drake. Hate the Drake.
Hey,
Jaden.
Good luck, New England, if you take Drake May, because Jaden Daniels being the number two pick is the smart play. Drake May, I wouldn't draft him in the top 10.
I have PTSD of anybody with a North Carolina background playing quarterback for a team.
So, Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Giddey.
I just feel very confident that Chicago worked out one quarterback and that was it. And Caleb Williams visited one team and that was it.
I don't know. Kevin Warren, though, he'll do some strange things. You never know.
Trade.
We'll talk the draft and more coming up next on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone. All right.